We're missing one of our attendees for the committee, but I think we can proceed along, and if he comes, he can sign in at that point. So we'll call the meeting to order. First order, item on our whole business is roll call. I see everyone here with the exception of Supervisor Rodriguez. Are there any citizens' comments? Any comments from citizens who'd like to speak?
Also, one of the Vietnam government.
Vietnam government, recognize you being here.
And the other one that's missing.
No citizens' comments? Going once, going twice. Citizens' comments are closed. Chairman slash supervisor's comments. I don't have any comments for the present. If there are any supervisors who would like to make a comment, they can do so. Supervisor Meehan.
Just a quick comment. We had the meeting over the Brookside Board of Trustees meeting yesterday, and we got the final results, or whatever, the final for the end of the year budget. So it will come out better than what was projected. Brookside, I don't recall the numbers, so please forgive me on that, but Brookside, we came in the red, better than what was projected, but Willowbrook had enough money to offset that, so we came out in the black.
So are you talking for fiscal 2019?
Fiscal 2019, yes.
When does the year end? Is it regular December 31st?
That was as of December 31st.
Okay. So just from your recollection, as long as you're on the subject, how much in the red was Brookside that Willowbrook covered?
Again,
approximately
pretty close. I want to say about close to 200,000.
Okay.
You know, less than 200,000, if I recall it correct, and Willowbrook was close to 300. And,
so if you wouldn't mind, some, maybe not this evening, but some future time, bring that forward to the county board meeting,
okay.
Bring an update.
Okay, know. Maybe I won't say anything tonight because I don't recall, but I'll check on the numbers and then
figures that you can rely upon.
Okay, thank you.
Any other supervisors' comments?
Yeah, I want to commend Kenosha County for this last year. If I have the numbers right, Kenosha County decreased by 30% overdose deaths, which leads the state, which the state's at 3%, I believe. Is that correct? Approximately? Pretty close. So I think what we've done so far has been great to decrease that number by 30% from that last year to this year. So just to everybody involved, thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Byrd. Any other supervisors wanting to make a comment? Speak now or we move on to our item number four. Item number four, approval of minutes. I trust you've all had the opportunity to read the minutes from the last meeting. Entertain a motion to approve.
Motion approved.
Second.
Supervisor Belsky makes the motion. Supervisor Byrd seconds. All those in favor, youth of governance.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Members, aye. Sounds unanimous. Minutes are approved. Number five, the resolution to approve the reappointment of Mr. Preston to the Kenosha County Commission on Aging and Disability Services. Who will handle this particular motion?
I can take that. So we have our Commission on Aging has two 3-year terms, the limit. So this would be Gary's second term, if approved. And he has served very well. In fact, he's the chair of the commission. Gary used to work with the sheriff's department with the jail program and has an adult child with a disability and has been a great asset on the commission, attends all the meetings.
Any other discussion among the committee members? If not, I'll take a motion to approve this.
So moved.
Second.
Celebrate makes the motion. Berg seconds. We'll take a vote here momentarily. Youth and Governance.
Aye.
Aye. Committee members.
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thank you. Circulate this for our signatures. Next item, item number 7, resolution to approve the reappointment of Mr. Juan Torres.
Six.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm skipping ahead. Number 6, resolution to approve the reappointment of Mr. Ronald Frederick to the Kenosha County Commission on Aging and Disability Services.
I think that many of you know Ron Frederick. He was the director of the Division of Disability Services before, and when he retired several years ago, then that division merged with aging, so we became the Division of Aging and Disability Services. He has come back to volunteer on the Commission on Aging, and also has been a regular attendee and provides a lot of good input.
So just for informational purposes, this is the other Ron Frederick. This is not the Ron Frederick.
Correct.
He's on our county board as a county board member. This is another member of the community who's been involved with public service for quite a number of years.
However, he does reside in Ron Frederick's district.
They do.
He does, yeah.
Yeah, he does.
There we go. So with that, are there any questions or comments by committee members? Seeing none, entertain a motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Belsky, Berg, in that order. Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Committee members?
Aye.
Aye.
Passes unanimously. Thank you. Signatures. We are now on to item number 7. Resolution to approve the reappointment of Mr. Juan Torres of the Kenosha County Commission on Aging and Disability Services.
Juan also has been a steady member of the commission. He years ago was involved in the Voluntary Action Center, that's when I met him, and then he has certainly involved in the school board, and he was on the school board. I think it works now for the school system as in community outreach, and has also provided great input on the commission.
Discussion among committee members. Entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Seconded.
Berg, celebrate in that order for motion and second. Youth and Governance, vote. Committee members.
Aye.
All ayes. I should ask, actually, if I do my chairman job correctly, asking for any opposed. Seeing none, motion carries unanimously. Thank you. All right, we're on to resolution number 8. Resolution to approve the appointment of Rebecca Dutter as the director of Kenosha County Division of Aging and Disability Services. Who will handle this?
Well, hopefully she will, but I'll introduce her. I'm pleased to introduce to you tonight Rebecca Dutter, who is up for your consideration for the appointment of the director of the Kenosha County Division of Aging and Disability Services. Laverne is leaving us. The last day will be March 6th. So with that, she's been working with Becky, who has a number of years of experience, as you saw with the resume that's attached, in our certainly working down in our building as an APS supervisor for the last 15 years. Prior to that, was an adult protective services as APS. I'm sorry, I won't speak in acronyms. Prior to that, also as an adult protective service worker. In addition, has served on a number of community boards and has an excellent reputation throughout the community. And she's here this evening for your questions, and I would ask that you endorse her appointment. Thank you.
Thank you for the presentation. Would you care to make a statement, Ms. Dutter, and just acquaint our committee with yourself?
Sure. So as John explained, I've been with the Division of Aging since 1999. I started as an adult protective services investigator, which is an abuse investigator for the county. In 2005, I became the supervisor, and I've been in that role since then. I have, as our division has expanded, certainly the roles that I've had have also expanded. We do much more work with the Division of Behavioral Health and Division of Behavioral Health Services. Certainly, I recognize that I have some big shoes to fill with Laverne's vacancy, and I'm hoping to continue her legacy of the community collaborations and building more community involvement with all of our services while we continue to grow and expand the services that we provide through the Division of Aging and Disability Services.
If you look into your future for 2020, do you see anything significantly upcoming different this time around than in past years? Did you? Been in the department for quite a while.
Sure. You know, what I see coming down is we're going to have more people that are going to need our services as we move forward, certainly. And so we're going to have to figure out how we can accommodate the needs of our community, address the needs of our community, and certainly continue to be fiscally conservative with our budget so that we can serve as many people as we can as our community population changes. Certainly we see that in the aging side, and I can also see that increase with the behavioral health side as well.
So one final question, I'll turn it over to the committee if they have anything to ask. Generally, Division of Aging and Disability Services, how many people do you oversee? How many people are in the department? What's the situation like there? Give us an idea.
So the department is interesting because we don't have very many actual county employees that are within that division. We do a lot of contract work. So most of the aging services and the disability services are actually housed there with subcontracts that go out. I believe there's 53 people within that are in our building space. We also have about an extra 60-some contracts for the behavioral health side. So there's a wide array of providers and services that this position certainly oversees. But as far as the people that are in the building, it's about 53
okay.
basic staff.
Very well, thank you. Committee members, questions, comments, anything? Seeing none, entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Nudo and Berg in that order for moving in second. Further discussion? Entertain a vote using governance.
Aye.
Committee members?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Seeing none, motion carries unanimously. Welcome.
Thank you.
Ms.
Thank
Berg.
You. Thank you.
We are now ready for the presentation of the Dad's Overview by Laverne Gyros. Laverne, when you're ready.
Okay.
No, sir, it's her last hurrah, so feel free.
Wait until the end.
John, you're terrible.
If she doesn't get a standing ovation, then there's something wrong. So
that's some tough questions now.
Thanks to the committee.
So I couldn't help but go to a little bit of the history because I want to other people to know what the history is of the division, and especially as county board members to know how things got to where they are now. So going back to the I'll be real brief on this, but back in the 70s there was the Comprehensive Services Board, which was focused on persons with disabilities, primarily developmental disabilities, and some mental health services. And then there was a tiny Department of Aging, which at that time was located in the county jail, had a little office there. And Department of Social Services also had some of the aging services for older adults. Then in the 80s, the county executive and director of Department of Social Services at that time felt that they had created the concept of the job center, and also felt that there should be a concept of pulling aging services together. So they moved the services for older adults from Department of Social Services into the Department of Aging. And so there was both the Comprehensive Board and Department of Aging. Then with that, we created the Center for Aging and Long-Term Care. The county executive at that time, since it was tired of people calling saying that they couldn't find where to go for services, so the county executive and the county board approved the creation of what we called then the Center for Aging and Long-Term Care, and that actually became the model for aging and disability resource centers throughout the state, and there are some now in different parts of the country. Then in the 90s, we still had the Human Services Department was formed, and two departments became divisions. So there was Division of Disability Services and Division of Aging Services. During that period, that decade, a lot of services grew. State attention to deinstitutionalization of persons with disabilities and looking for alternatives to nursing home care for older adults. And so there was a lot of growth in programs during that that period. In the 2000s, family care came to Kenosha, and that really opened up services for older persons and persons with disabilities so that they could remain in the community with services instead of instead of institutes or nursing homes. And then also at that point is when the aging and disability services were combined into one division, so we became the Division of Aging and Disability Services. And from 2010 to the current time, of course, the population continues to grow and the services grow with it. So just looking at the decade, of the last decade, you can see on some of the percentages there, I just pulled out the growth of some of the programs that just really pop out. Their information and assistance at the ADRC, 179% increase in contacts. Medical equipment loan closet, 476% increase. The other day I went into the other room and our staff was opening the door and there were boxes and boxes of adult diapers that they were bringing in because of the little ad in the paper saying that we needed adult diapers, and now we're inundated with boxes of the. But it's the community has responded both in terms of donations, continued donations of equipment, as well as borrowers. People really appreciate that because you don't know what kind of equipment is going to work. And here, and the equipment is still good. You use it for a short time, and then you don't need it. You give it back, and then other people can see if it's a bath bar or a shower chair or whatever is needed. They can see if it works for their loved one or themselves, and then they go on to purchase one themselves if they need it for a long period of time.
We use that for an elderly firefighter that we were moving to St. Joseph Home, so it's an excellent program.
People there are responding more and more to it. It's just growing. So, dementia consultations are growing with the growth of that population. Adult protective services and elder abuse grown by 89% over that period. Family care enrollments by 97%, and Western Caravan trips and Western Transit trips have grown as well. And then also listed there, you can see a number of other programs that we provide that also are growing in size. So with the Division of Aging and Disability Services, we kind of have two parts to it. It's the services for older adults and persons with disabilities, and behavioral health services. And behavioral health services have grown tremendously as well. And if you look, this is a chart of the crisis response services. And I'd like you to just look at the top line shows the adult crisis contacts increased from just over 6,000 in 2010 to over 12,000 in 2019. Now that's the crisis contacts that we have, people calling with a variety of crises. The care center, and you supported the county's support of the of a new care center that's almost 2 years now, and those admissions have increased as well over the years, and certainly have helped us to keep people out of hospitals. The emergency detentions in hospital admissions have actually gone down over the years. We've worked real hard to try to keep emergency detentions down. But if you look at the next line, unfortunately, the average length of stay has grown tremendously. So that's where our increased costs for hospitals are due to the length of stay increased, and a lot of that is due to some just a couple of outliers of people who are there for a very long period of time whose behaviors require hospitalization, and we've tried community placement and it doesn't work. It's due to that, and then also some years ago we lost access to St. Luke's. They reduced the size, the number of their beds, and because to explain, I think some of you have heard this explanation before, but others haven't, that when you have a psychiatric hospital and you people age 22 to 64 cannot be covered by Medicaid in a psychiatric facility. The reason St. Luke's, we could get them covered under in St. Luke's because it was considered a general hospital with psychiatric beds. So if there was another general hospital that just added psychiatric beds, that would be helpful to reduce our costs because then Medicaid could cover it. But right now we're stuck. So most of our referrals then have to go to a psychiatric hospital. We do have some people that we refer to St. Luke's, but they're covered under Medicaid and not reflected necessarily in these.
Can you give us an example or two, Laverne, what emergency detention hospital admission would encompass? What does that mean specifically?
Do you want to take that?
Sure. So when somebody
Becky's involved in all
this. Sure. When somebody's having a mental health crisis in the community, it's usually crisis and law enforcement that become involved with that individual. In order for them to be detained under what we call the Chapter 51 detention or a mental health detention, they have to exhibit either a danger to self or others. So they have to be either actively suicidal with a plan or they have to be actively homicidal with a plan. For people who are kind of fall under that category, or below that category, we can certainly look to care center for stabilization for those folks. But those folks that meet that high threshold of really being in a dangerous situation, they're detained under a Chapter 51. We start at our local hospitals where our local hospitals make medical clearance for them. If during that time frame they're willing to go voluntarily, then certainly the hospital staff as well as crisis staff look for a receiving psychiatric hospital that would be willing to take them. But for those that are not willing to go voluntarily and still continue to meet that threshold, they would either go to Winnebago most likely, or if they have some specialized need, they might go to Mendota. So we're talking length of the very lengthy transportation to get those folks there. What happens then is within 72 hours of the initial detention, what happens in the emergency room, they have to have a probable cause hearing. At that probable cause hearing, it's decided whether or not they meet the standards for the detention. If they do, they continue to stay at the facility until the doctors decide that they're able to be released to wherever it is in the community where that they feel is safe. If they do not meet that standard, then they are released from that facility or they have what's some kind of an agreement. It's called a settlement agreement that they'll follow certain conditions if they return to the community.
When you comment upon the probable cause, is that a judicial type thing or is
correct.
That a...
Yeah, it goes before court. I mean, it's a court proceeding. It's held by a judge and it's the individual is given the opportunity to have a guardian or, you know, counsel, and then the corporation counsel argues with the doctor as to whether or not this person meets that standard of probable cause.
Okay, thank you. Supervisor sure. Byrd, do you have a question?
No, I'm good. Okay.
Laverne?
We also have a number of prevention and treatment services which have grown over the years. The greatest growth has been in the in our intensive case management and services called CSP Community Support Program and CCS Community Comprehensive Community Services. And you can see that we've grown from in 2015 from 305 persons in the program to 512. What happened with that, and we were able to grow programs, and you'll see in juvenile services that that they have been able to grow the number of people in CCS as well, because the state is now matching there were federal Medicaid dollars available before, but several years ago the state approved a state match to those federal dollars, and that has allowed us to serve more people. And then we have a variety of other services, the Mental Health and Substance Abuse Resource Center, Bridges Community Center, Jail Diversion Treatment Court, Comprehensive Alcohol and Treatment, or the what's known as the Vivitrol Program, Mental Health Clinic Counseling, Residential and Supported Apartments, and Crisis Intervention Training. I wanted to go over a little bit of the factors that affect service demand, and certainly Becky mentioned the growth in aging population. There's growth, of course, in the county's population as well. With the growth in the aging population, we also see an increase in persons with dementia. Family sizes are smaller, which affects the ability of families to be there to care for loved ones, and also more there are more working family members, which also affects availability of families to provide care. The preference for care in the community among individuals with disabilities and older persons, the state's whole movement, actually it's a countrywide movement of deinstitutionalization of persons with disabilities, the look to the interest in alternatives to incarceration when it comes to persons with mental illness or substance use disorder, and of course the opioid epidemic you're familiar with. I wanted to tell you a little bit about some of the things that make us proud of the work that we're doing. I mentioned that we were a model for state ADRCs. We had the first Stepping On Falls Prevention Program in the state, and now it's in the country, has been adopted in many states. We had the first disability benefit specialist. We had an elder disability specialist for a number of years, and realized that we were not serving younger people under 60 with disabilities, and after we started that, then the state started providing disability benefit specialists and dollars for that. It ended up on two lines. The leverage of dollars to stretch transportation services to the county. I'm really particularly proud of our elder and disability services manager, who saw the opportunity to pull in using a grant that we would regularly get, was able to use that as a match to pull in other dollars to be able to provide the Western Transit services, and also working with the city on stretching accessible transportation in the city. Our medical equipment loan clause that I mentioned, our Medicare workshops, we're seeing, we've been able to stretch the number of the people that we serve by not just doing individual consultation, but having workshops at the job center where people can access computers and learn how to find the Medicare programs that they need by themselves. We had one of the state's first medication-assisted treatment programs, the care center, Dale Diversion Program, the Mental Health Resource Center, the partnership with NAMI and law enforcement to do crisis intervention training and crisis intervention partnership training. Also, our community coalitions. We have a Falls Prevention Coalition, the Opioid Task Force, the Mental Health Coalition, Care Transitions Coalition, Family Care, and all of these. We don't do all of this work ourselves. We do it in collaboration with the community, and we have been told by others who've seen us that we have some of the best relationships with law enforcement, with the hospitals, and with others in the community to make these things happen. And certainly we're very proud of our consumer satisfaction with services.
Can we take a moment just for a question, Supervisor Byrd?
I have two questions for you, Laverne. One is the leverage of dollars to stretch transportation, and I know the city's probably going to have to decrease bus routes in the future. How are we addressing that? And the second question is, you had just mentioned our relationship with hospitals, and I know that while we're not the city and we don't have an impact on the ambulances, what is our involvement in that, if at all?
Well, with the ambulance, I don't know that we have any involvement other than we have started a collaboration with the city fire department on both in the area of falls prevention and also in terms of opioid response. They are applying for a grant and that would be in collaboration with the Division of Health and with with the Kenosha Human Development Services, and that's related to the to mental health and addiction. And then we work with the ADRC works with them in terms of falls related calls. About 17% of the calls that that the city EMTs go out for are related to older persons who have fallen. And so we have a collaboration with them where they ask people if a number of them go to the hospital, but a number of them refuse to go to the hospital and are home, at our, they're at home, they remain at home. And we, so they ask if they would like a referral to the ADRC. And then if they agree to a referral to the ADRC, we get that information from them and then from the fire department, and then we follow up with those individuals if they're willing to see us and talk about ways to prevent falls. And then the, what was the other question? Sorry,
the other one was the leverage of dollars of stress transportation with the city's
the way,
bus.
The way we do that is we have a contract with Kenosha Achievement Center for the caravan services. Mm-hmm. And that helps to meet, and so the city also has a contract with them. And so we leverage those together. We're purchasing the caravan services, and it meets their requirement for accessible transportation.
So with with the decrease in lines that they're going to have, or routes that their city's about to have, because they're going to get a decrease in funds, if I'm saying this right, do we see an increase in the need for caravans?
No, I don't. I don't see that one affecting the other.
Okay. Any other committee comments or questions on this particular part? Can we go back to the previous slide for just a moment? Jail diversion program. I'm partially familiar with this. Judge Milosauskas had a drug court that was started a number of years ago and largely successful in making a segue between what ordinarily might be incarceration, giving people a quote-unquote second chance to redeem, rehabilitate themselves. I understand it has expanded from that. Can you comment upon the present state?
Treatment court has, it's expanded the number of participants. The there was one period when we had a mental health treatment court. Well, we had dollars for both a mental health treatment court and a drug treatment court. And we lost one of those grants, so that we merged the two programs together, and we continue to support. We support the position that supports the team with treatment court. But the numbers have been continuing. Graduations are occurring. We're getting good.
So is this one and the same with the drug court, jail diversion program is the same?
That's a little bit different. That tries to get help people to avoid jail time to begin with by certain interventions and things that they need to do. It avoids avoids a stay in jail so they don't even reach treatment court.
Okay, so there are two separate entities. One's more preventative, one's trying to address the situation that's already occurred.
Okay. Right.
Thank you. Carry on, please.
And then you can see that people are very satisfied with the services. We have a lot of happy people with our services, and we continue to monitor that. We do have a in both program areas quality improvement measures to see what people are their level of satisfaction with service, as well as the whether outcomes are being met.
If I could just comment on your appreciation, what people say, I would tell you that I have a family member that would have lost his two autistic children had it not been for your department and your help. So it's you're doing a wonderful job. Thank you.
Thank you. The some of the challenges that lie ahead, there's a shortage of long-term care workers, and not just in Kenosha County, but throughout the state and throughout the country. And certainly the state is addressing that with a a task force, a governor's task force, that is looking at ways to tackle the shortage of long-term care workers, as well as families struggling with caregiving roles. When you hear the stories of what families are going through, people who have children with autism, children with other disabilities, severe disabilities, and as well as families caring for loved ones with dementia, it's tough for families to make a go of it, and both in terms of the caregivers, many of the caregivers themselves are aging, the family members, and it becomes more difficult then to provide that ongoing care. Increases in financial exploitation and abuse, the affordability and complexity of health insurance, the insufficient psychiatric beds, insufficient number of psychiatrists, of course, the increase in addiction, and a lack of affordable housing. And so those are the things that I see as kind of the challenges that will keep us busy in the years to come.
May I have a question?
Go ahead.
Insufficient psychiatric beds. So did we at one point have beds within facilities in Kenosha, and they won't like free up 15 or 10 or?
Many years ago, there were psychiatric beds at the old St. Catharines, and that then the beds, they discontinued the beds with the idea that St. Luke's and Racine would take those on, and they did for a number of years until they in 2014 where they started reducing the beds that they.
Yeah. Supervisor Burt?
Can you explain to us, just so I don't know if people are aware, of the difference between a wing that has psychiatric beds versus a hospital wing that's just beds for run-of-the-mill patients?
Well, I'm not sure that I'm qualified to answer.
You're asking the definition of an IMD, an institution for mental disease, versus a hospital?
No, the actual rooms, like the bathroom and the room itself. If you don't, I can explain a little bit.
Yeah.
Plumbing is not accessible. Any points to where a bed sheet can be tied to is not accessible. The doors are padded doors that have magnets attached to them so that they magnetize closed so they can open easily. But nothing that is able to be easily barricaded or being able to tie, I don't even think they are allowed shoelaces or anything like that in these wings. So I understand the difficulty of having the psychiatric beds or the wings. Unfortunately, we need them.
But it's something we need to work on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. With St. Luke's, a large part of the reason that they reduced their beds is with staffing, the difficulty in having sufficient staff to monitor.
But that ties in then to the Sheriff's Department, the hours spent traveling to Mendota to move people. So, yeah.
Okay, thank you. You're welcome. Yes.
Anything else as I conclude your presentation?
Yes. Hope you have a wonderful time. Thank you.
How many years have you been with the county?
It would be 32 years this year.
32 years, so congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Laura.
You said standing ovation.
You said it.
You found it.
You put a standard forth for the board.
And don't be afraid to stop back and visit from time to time if you feel so inclined.
I will.
We're on to item number 10, which is any other business that's authorized by law. I have no particular items to comment upon. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Supervisor Nudo, Supervisor Rodriguez. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Ethan Governance?
Aye.
You want to stay around for a while? You want to go? Thank you for attending. Okay. We stand adjourned.
Now where are we headed?